Good evening from me as well. I'm Panos Papazoglou. I'm the managing partner for EY Southeast Europe. For a change, I'm not a lawyer. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure and honor to be with you again this year and to introduce a distinguished panel to discuss the prospects of the Greek banking sector. In this panel, the key theme is not NPEs. We know that the Greek banking sector underwent significant challenges in the last 8 years, recapitalizations, AQRs, and so on and so forth. So I think it's time to discuss now about the future challenges. And there are two, to my mind. First one is the creation of profitable growth. The credit expansion in an economy which is not yet in a growing mode, it's an issue. Because the only way for the banks to produce value to the country and value to the investors is to produce, to have the ability to produce positive NIIs. The second challenge is the disruption, what the disruption technology is bringing, disruptive technology is bringing to the sector. Just to give you two headlines, we did recently a study, and 4 out of 10 retail customers express decreased dependence on their bank as their primary financial services provider. This is the result of the emergence of new types of providers, such as fintechs, who may be offering simplified products and superior customer experience. However, it also reflects the way retail customers bank today and the way they would like to bank in the future. The changes we're witnessing affect a number of aspects of banking, not least among them, the degree of trust that customers have in banks regarding their ability to keep the money safe, as well as to provide substantial high-quality advice, the relevance of traditional distribution channels, the bank's understanding of customers' preferences, expectations, and behavior, and last but not least, bank's ability to provide the customized service and experience which has come to be expected of them. Now, I will start giving the floor to Leonidas Fragiadakis, who is the CEO of the National Bank of Greece, and to give some his first views about the current outlook of the Greek banking sector.
Thank you. Before I go into this, I'd like to share a story. Around this time, last year, we were here in the U.S., trying to attract capital for our recapitalizations. And one of the investors tells me, you know, you're trying to promote a stock whose name has three words, none of which is very attractive to U.S. investors: National, Bank, and Greece. So, the point is, though, that since then, a lot of water has gone under the bridge. We managed, all of us, to recapitalize. So right now, the whole banking system is pretty well provided, in my view, despite the stratospheric level of NPEs. There is a plan in place in order to mitigate this issue substantially. And if one was to look forward, I would say that the prospects, in view of the fact that we are now finally seem to be bottoming out in terms of economic activity and actually exiting the recession, I think the drivers will be predominantly generating NII by giving new loans. The composition of new loans will definitely be geared towards corporate rather than retail. With loans come fees, so we would expect that as well. And finally, one aspect that we saw live being last year, and I think we'll see some further juice out of this year, comes through the repricing of the liability side of the balance sheet. We are seeing better pricing for our deposits. Gradually, euro system dependence gets eliminated, and as a result, a lot of expensive Pillar 2 bonds are gradually being left away from the bank's liabilities, and that has generated dramatic cost savings this year, and we'll have some of that going forward next year. Why would I think that new loan growth is possible? If you look at the period from 2008 until 15, investment has declined by approximately 60%. And if I exclude residential investments, the decline has been around 40%. Now, so the spring is compressed. We are seeing for the first 9 months of 2016 an increase in investment by approximately 9%. So we have reasons to expect that the surviving companies, the ones that are actually managing to weather through the crisis, will be the ones who going forward will need to invest. If you look at metrics like investments per employee or exports per investment, all these key metrics show that there is a shortage of investment capacity. So this makes us a bit optimistic.
Thank you very much. Moving to Nikolaos Karamouzis, chairman of Eurobank Ergasias. Some first thoughts, Mr. Karamouzis.
Thank you very much. I don't have a story to tell like Leonidas, but listening to George Logothetis, I have a solution for the Greek problem. We invite him to join the political system in Greece, and with the enthusiasm that he shows, I'm sure that he would be able to provide a solution to our problem, which is actually he pointed out something which is very important, that the wave of pessimism that dominates the Greek society, and especially the Greek businessmen, is one of the problems that we have to face. I mean, we have to turn things around. We have to believe in our country. We have to buy the Greek story first and then to export this story abroad. Now, the Greek banking system has survived the perfect storm. Over the last 5-6 years, we have gone through 3 stress tests, 3 recapitalizations, 60 billion euros of capital was raised, 115 billion euros of NPEs were created, 58 billion euros of provisions have been taken, capital controls, from 30 banks we became 4.5, and 1 cooperative, I forgot it. So we have been through a very difficult and challenging period, and the main objective was not technology, it was to survive and protect the interest of our shareholders, the personnel, and the country at the end. Now, I have to report that things are getting quite more positive in almost all areas. Wholesale liquidity is improving. So far, the system has done over 25 billion euros of repos in the international markets. This is not a small number. NPL and NPE formation is picking up. I anticipate for all banks the formation would turn negative in the first quarter of 2017 for the first time in many years. Cost rationalization and cost reduction continues on top of 25% reduction in operating costs the last few years. Sale of non-core assets continues, especially in the areas of insurance and international subsidiaries. Strengthening the pre-provision income continues. I anticipate that the 4 banks together, they are going to report 4.5 billion euros of pre-provision income for 2016. This is a big difference compared with the Italian or Portuguese banks because they suffer from pre-provision income, and this is a great buffer before capital is hit in the case that adverse conditions are developed. Also, capital base has been strengthened. Don't forget that core Tier 1 equity today on average around 18.3%, and core Tier 1 equity fully loaded Basel 3 is around 15.9%, one of the highest numbers in Europe. And finally, Euro system dependency from 135 billion euros that reached in the summer of 2015 is down now to 70 billion euros plus and continues to go down every year. So all things considered, I think that conditions are improving. On top of that, we are going to enter a positive growth area, which is and positive credit expansion in 2017. This is very good news for the banks, growth and positive credit expansion. On top of that, in my view, there is further room for reducing operating costs. There is further room of reducing funding costs. And don't forget that we are four banks, so the system is one of the most concentrated in Europe, market concentration, so competition would be less intense than other markets. So I'm very positive about the prospects. Banks are traded at 0.2 tangible book. This is not a great valuation, so you start with a very low level. So overall, I'm very positive. Closing, I would say some of the challenges ahead of us. Obviously, the NPE story of 115 billion euros is a huge challenge for bankers and the banks and Greece. Against that, we have taken 58 billion euros of provisions. And don't forget that 62% of the portfolio is collateralized, mainly with real estate. So I believe, and capital adequacy is strong. So the combination of all the above indicates that we are in good position. What is missing is a more proactive management of the NPEs. Banks have committed, the first system in Europe that committed to the regulator to bring down NPEs the next 3 years by 38%, close to 40 billion euros. This is not an easy task, it's a challenging task, and the resolution framework has improved enormously. So, to a great extent, it's up to us now to deliver value and deliver this substantial reduction in NPEs. Additional challenges, there is pressure on the top-line profitability, mainly because of the negative credit expansion today and the fact that we reprice restructured loans at lower interest rates. There is increasing competition from markets and non-bank financial intermediaries. We have to deal with the technology, the headwinds of technological innovations, which transforming seriously both the front and back systems of the banks and the client servicing model. In my view, the major problem there would be the resistance of the legacy bank against all these major transformation requirements. You have to manage very effectively and efficiently the process because things are changing very rapidly. And finally, there is the new regulatory framework, Basel IV, IFRS 9, MREL, TRIM, DTA, DTC treatment. All of those have the risk of affecting capital base and also affecting the degree that banks could leverage their assets.
Thank
closing, I'm overall positive, especially if economic policy improved in terms of credibility. I'm very positive if we're able to re-earn again the trust of depositors, the trust of investors. We are getting there, but we go very slowly. And in my view, if trust is regained by markets, there is a potential of 25 billion euros of deposits returning to the Greek banking system the next 12 to 18 months. Those would come mainly from repatriation of banknotes. We have in circulation today in Greece 45 billion euros of banknotes, 25% of GDP, vis-à-vis an average of 9% in the rest of Europe. We love cash in Greece. And also we have corporate deposits that from 38 billion euros before the crisis, they are down now to 15 billion euros. So I found these two sources the first step in restoring deposits close to the number of 25 billion euros I mentioned before. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So positive outlook, I'm keeping the positive outlook. And apart for the time being, the market valuation of the banking sector in Greece, I'll come back to this. Moving to another major player of the Greek banking sector in Greece, the Hellenic Financial Stability Fund, Mr. Eric Touré, Deputy CEO of HFSF. Mr. Touré, how do you see the big challenges and the big priorities of the Greek banking sector, and how do you see the involvement of HFSF in these challenges? How HFSF can support the Greek banking sector?
Yes. The HFSF, the Hellenic Financial Stability Fund, was set up 6 years ago to support and assist the bank in their recapitalization. 40 billion euros have been injected in the banking sector to support them. Over the past 6 years, banks have been consolidated, the non-viable institutions have been resolved, and we are currently working very closely with the four systemic banks to prepare for the next phase. Today, we believe that the critical word for the Greek banks is implementation. Implementation of the resolution of non-performing loans. We are talking about a very large stock, and there are very positive developments. A new framework is being designed to address the issues of non-performing loans and will start being implemented early next year. This framework will allow significant out-of-court settlement of distressed borrowers, we also hope that the introduction of foreign asset services will speed up the reduction of non-performing loans. That's a very important milestone for Greek banks to regain credibility in the marketplace. We believe that Greek banks have also made significant progress in the implementation of their restructuring plan as drafted and signed with the European Union in 2015. And 16, we think that they are on track to dispose of non-core assets. They are also very proactive in implementing cost reduction initiatives, on that front, we believe that they are well placed to deliver. There is another area where Greek banks are closely working with the Hellenic Financial Stability Fund. This is strengthening governance. The four Greek banks currently operating in the market used to be run as large family businesses, and today they are operating as large international corporates, which require different type of governance model. And the Hellenic Financial Stability Fund will continue to work as a business partner over the next 2 to 3 years with the Greek banks to strengthen governance, to make sure that the resolution of non-performing loans is delivering strong and positive results for the Greek economy. And as far as the model of the Greek banks is concerned, I think that it's important to emphasize that the current changes taking place are pushing for more electronic transactions, more flow business, which should provide Greek banks more commissions as income than in the past. So I very much believe that the current program is going to help banks reestablish themselves as very strong players in the market.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Touré. Moving to Mr. Papapanagiotou, country head of UBS, country head for Greece and Cyprus. I'm taking the comment by Mr. Karamouzis that the market valuation of the banks is on the low side. However, many analysts view these days that the banking system as a whole is not a good investment choice. That's because the return on equity is lower than the required return for the risk profile of the sector. What are your views on this in general and on the Greek banking sector, obviously?
Thank you, Pano. I mean, it is true that sell-side research remains cautious about the prospects of the banking system, globally, but also particularly about Greece. You have certain challenges, of course, that are faced by the Greek banking system. Partly also, we increasingly live in an environment where there is a lot of political uncertainty, which is very difficult to price for investors and for analysts to incorporate into their models. The Greek banks are trading at very depressed valuation levels because, as discussed here on the panel already, they face significant challenges. And I'll mention the NPEs, for instance. But on the other hand, they are trading at levels which are pre-recap. And, you know, I also struggle to see why that is, because if you think about it, you have the Greek banks with capital ratios strongest, you know, at the top of the tables in Europe. You have returns between 6 to 8% are expected to be like that in the medium term without sort of incorporating any radical NPL reduction. And you have a government bond which is at 5%. And this is definitely not, should not suggest that the banks you know, should be trading at much higher levels because of the cost of capital effectively coming down and the cost of equity. So my view is that, you know, slowly investors, and it is important that the banks sort of deliver, continue to deliver on the results. And actually, you would have seen that post the Q3 results, there have been certain upgrades in the sector by analysts for the Greek banks. So I believe that slowly you will see people sort of building more confidence and assuming that the political environment remains constructive and Greece delivers on its targets and the banks deliver on the NPL targets, then I think you should see the valuation of the banks much higher.
Thank you very much. Moving to David Vallan, I don't know if I pronounced the name correctly, who is the managing director for BNP Paribas. Given the regulatory costs and pressures, the NPL stock, and the top-line challenges, would you view that there is still room for four banks in Greece, or should we expect to see some mergers in the near future?
Thank you for this question. Well, I mean, first of all, there has been in the past, as we all know, projects around further consolidation in the Greek system. So the question to me is twofold. There's one question, which is, are the drivers for consolidation still there? And then the question around, are the circumstances appropriate? I think on the drivers, if you look at what the drivers are for sort of usual consolidation in the market, you've mentioned some of them, and clearly we at least have two here. One is low profitability of the sector, and that's true of Greece, but that's true of the banking sector all across Europe. And that's to a certain extent even more true for Greece, given the pressure on margins. And there's also a factor that is, I would say, more acute in Greece, which is the stock of NPLs and what that means in terms of capital involvement, but also the need to have people who are able to manage, and clearly on large NPL stocks, you have efficiency gain. So to the question, are the drivers there? I think the answer is clearly yes. Then there's a second question, which is the question of timing and appropriateness. And there can be, first of all, there can be consolidation within the system, and then there can be consolidation from outside in. And in the past, there were banks, there were foreign banks who were extremely present in all activities in Greece. And I think from that standpoint, the answer has to be much more cautious. First of all, because I think, as Eric mentioned, the real focus of the Greek banks, where they're expected to be, where people will look at them, is implementation, is back to business. I mean, these are banks who, for the past 4 to 5 years, have been on yearly pressure to face gigantic headwinds. Now, they are back to business. And businesses focusing on your customers, as you mentioned, and focusing on the NPLs. And I think that's what the bank should be focusing on. So that's clear. If it comes to international consolidation, I think the conditions are simply not there yet. So that would be my view on this.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I left on purpose Alex Pretzner to be the last one in this series of questions. Alex is managing director of Citi because he's coming from the, let's say, the mother country of disruption. So how do you view disruptive technology in the banking sector? Do you feel that this creates challenges in the banking sector, opportunities in the banking sector that we know today?
Well, I think I'm not sure what you mean with the mother country of disruption, but
disruptive technology.
Disruptive technology. I would say definitely. I think we see, in particular, efficiency gains around financial technology, and you clearly see a lot of opportunities there. And I think I would like to link that with the point on consolidation, what we've heard before, as we're looking at how to improve the ROE of the major banks. I think it is clear that we already have a fairly efficient market structure. So the top four banks have a 97%+ market share in the country. So there is, I would say, limited scope for consolidation at the top level. I think it's not impossible, but it's quite unlikely, I would say. However, I think there is scope for further cooperation and further consolidation at one level below, at the subsidiary level, where we talk about product factories, where we talk about, NPL servicing and more efficient back office technology. And here, clearly, technology will play a major role, and largely with, cooperation in other subsidiaries or other markets. You know, we've seen it, with some of the banks in Europe cooperating in certain product lines, such as asset management or other product lines. And I think that's where the opportunity lies, and that's where financial technology really also will play a significant role. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the key levers how to improve the ROE on the cost side. Clearly, if you have a top line that is still flat in the overall environment.
Okay, thank you very much. Not an easy question for Mr. Fragiadakis and Mr. Karamouzis. Probably not many of you know that, the Greek four systemic banks have signed a memorandum before the last recapitalization exercise. So it's a memorandum similar to the country memorandum. So in Greece, some people are in favor of the memoranda that were signed with the institutions and with the lenders. Some people are saying it was a very good thing that happened to the country. Some others have an opposite opinion. So what is your feeling about the memorandum that, the banks have signed? And I'm saying this because there are intense pressures on pre-agreed actions, on dealing with NPEs. So at the end of the day, is this memorandum a curse or a blessing for the banking sector?
Well, I think it's more like a medication. It doesn't taste well, but it is necessary. So, in that sense, you're referring to the RFA, correct?
Mm.
Well, I really don't think that is so much of an issue because the essence of the text is rational. It describes steps and things that we need to do that we would be doing anyway. It obviously improves and builds on extra layers of accountability. At the same time, it very obviously gives us fewer degrees of freedom in the sense that to reach an important decision, you might as well have to go through an extended layering of approvals. Nevertheless, all in all, the extra injection of proper governance that is imbued within the RFA, I have personally very little issues with, and especially if you compare and contrast with the past prior to the crisis. So all in all, I see little issues.
Look, I mean, we received substantial state aid in the previous years in the form of capital, equity, and liquidity assistance with the guarantees. We prefer to focus, at least in Eurobank's agenda, of defining a roadmap of how we are going to put an end to this official intervention and interference. That means that the next 2 or 3 years or 2 years, we have to complete successfully the restructuring plan. We have to repay back the prefers. We have to cancel all the Pillar 2 bonds we have received. So the agreement was necessary. It has some positive elements, has some bureaucratic elements. But at the end of the day, we prefer to look forward, not to go back and review if it was bad or good. You say, how am I going to define a course of eliminating any official intervention and interference in the management of the bank? The changes introduced, for instance, in corporate governance, they are on the positive side, but the legislation had some excesses that have to be corrected over time. Overall, however, we have a better managed banks today, more transparent, and a better corporate governance than before. And that also was a necessary step to regain credibility in the markets, the way we manage our bank. So personally, and the team, Eurobank team, is focusing most of our times as to how to define our exodus from state aid and state interference.
Thank you very much. Last question for all of you, quickly. Top strategic priorities, top risks for the Greek banking sector, starting from David on the far left.
Well, I'm not going to be very original here. So I'd clearly state the NPLs as being one of the key driving factors, simply because of their weight into the bank's balance sheets. And I think what is actually extremely reassuring is that the banks have taken the measure of the issue and are extremely focused on this. And I think that's true of the banks, but that's also true of the public sector, the regulator, and the HFSF. So I think right now we have a sector that is really entirely fully mobilized and focused on that issue, which is probably one of the top priorities.
Thank you. Eric?
Yeah. I think the main risk is a lack of effective coordination between the Greek banking sector and the Greek government in addressing these challenges. And it's very important that all key stakeholders do work together to deliver on this challenge.
Thank you. Alex?
I think the three levels in the ROE, improve costs further, and improve risk provisioning, as we talked about NPLs before. But thirdly, and I think that's probably the most important one, looking at capital and leverage your capital further by new lending, because I think this will be important for the overall market.
Thank you very much. Stefanos?
I would say continue to deliver on the NPLs and attracting deposits. I would say this is the key.
Thank you. For Eurobank specifically, priorities and risks?
I would say four major objectives. Bring down the NPE stock, which is substantial. Prepare the bank and transform the bank to meet the financial technology challenges, which are significant. Improve liquidity. And the final thing, what makes a bank different, what makes a bank distinct, we have to work on what I call the intangible elements of competition, the trust of the clients, the trust and respect of the personnel, the respect of the society, and how do we create a bank that is a bank of first choice in the eyes of the clients and the best place to work for the employees. These quality elements are the sustainable competitive advantages for a bank, and Eurobank intends to focus on those, already focusing, along with the other three that I mentioned before. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicola. Leonida.
I mean, basically, if you ask a banker, they will tell you the same four things. Reduce NPEs, grow the top line, cost containment, and digital transformation. What distinguishes each bank from the other is the priorities they give. For us, because I have pretty good faith in our NPE machine, I think we've built a pretty good machine, I think we can deliver, provided that the economy performs. For us, for NBG, the most important aspect revolves around cost containment, and this is where we'll be focusing on. As far as risks go, I think number one risk, and this has been talked very intensely over the conference, refers to potential economic underperformance, because everybody now realizes how important economic performance is for the next year. Delays in reforming the legal and judicial framework are important as well. It's an important risk. And finally, it's what people call the unknown unknown. I mean, we swim at the lake of black swans, and something that we have not predicted might hit us at European level or at any level, but this is not something I can comment on. That's it.
Thanks so much. Mr. Bornozis, do we have the time for one question, only one question from the floor? Okay.
Get out.
No question from the floor. Guys, thank you very much. Thank you.